Get to the text, if you would. I want to read from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 10. And I will begin reading at verse 5 in your hearing through verses 14 from the Common English Bible version. And here's how it reads. Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, don't go among the Gentiles or into a Samaritan city. Go instead to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. As you go, make this announcement. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead, cleanse those with skin diseases, and throw out demons. You received without having to pay, therefore give without demanding payment. Workers deserve to be fed, so don't gather gold or silver or copper coins for your money belts to take on your trips. Don't take a backpack for the road, or two shirts or sandals or walking stick. Whatever city or village you go into, find somebody in it who is worthy and stay there until you go on your way. When you go into a house, say peace. If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if the house isn't worthy, take back your blessing. If anyone refuses to welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house or city. I want to try to talk for the next little while from the sermon idea, when the mission seems impossible. Father, in the name of Jesus, draw near to us right now. Melodies from heaven rain down on us. Fill us with your spirit now. Empower us for the preaching moment. Hide me behind that rugged, empty cross. Let me decrease as you increase. Let them see more of you and less of me. This is your servant's prayer, we pray. Amen. And thank God. When the mission seems impossible. Here we have Matthew begin sharing us with the birth narrative and the lineage of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He then shares with us, after he has preached his powerful Sermon on the Mount, he shares now his itinerary as he is moving in what would be 3 years toward Calvary. It is with this public ministry, the beginning of the public ministry of our Lord and Savior, that Matthew gives us. How many of you are familiar with the long-running show Mission Impossible? I mean, it is an old, Tom Cruise has taken it and made subsequent versions. But I remember growing up and Mr. Phelps would come in and turn on the tape player or the recorder and said, good evening or good morning, Mr. Phelps. I have a mission for you, and should you accept, these are the consequences. But however, whatever you decide to do, this message will self-destruct in 6 seconds. Jesus seems to say to the disciples, I have a mission for you. But the thing about it, he does not give them the opportunity to decide whether or not they will accept the mission. The conditions are not the same as it was for Mr. Phelps. In fact, he goes on and says, I have an assignment for you, and should you accept, there are some things I need to let you know about. You will be disappointed. You will find trouble. You will find difficulty. You will find heartache and heartbreak. And in fact, it will almost seem that what I'm asking you to do is impossible. But I need you to do it. My brothers and sisters, how much is this story not a part of our own lives? Sometimes the things that God puts on us and the assignments that he gives us can only be termed as a mission that seems to be impossible. Everywhere one looks, there's some challenge, there's some mountain that seems insurmountable. Moses, I want you to march the children of Israel across the Red Sea with Pharaoh behind you, the Red Sea in front of you, chariots on one side, grumbling and complaining people. But Moses said, but Lord, that's impossible. Noah, I want you to take an ark in the middle of the desert, but not a cloud in the sky, no ocean, no sea, no stream, no river, not even a good brook. And Noah would say, but Lord, that's impossible. Andrew and James, you've got 5,000 people here, other than women and children. What I want you to do is just take 2 loaves and 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, and I want you to feed them till they want no more. And then on tomorrow, I want you to get some leftovers together so that they might have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But the boy said, but Lord, that's impossible. Come here, David. You are the heir to the throne, and you are 5 feet tall, and Goliath is 10 feet tall. And all I want you to do is go out with no sword, no armor, no helmet. All you got is a flimsy slingshot. You don't have a Glock, an AK-47. You don't have a 9mm. Just take your flimsy slingshot and a stone and take Goliath out. To me, that seems to be impossible. But I've come to discover that things that are impossible for men are possible with God. So the Lord says in the text, I want you to go out and I want you to do these things. I have this mission. Now, whether y'all want to know it, admit it or not, this story is going down. Each and one of our address, somebody has a task right now. Your bills needed to be paid last month. Your mortgage is behind. Your rent is behind. Your car note is behind. And because your money is funny and your change is strange and your credit won't get it, it seems impossible. Somebody has a burden that's so heavy, that's pressing you down, a hurt, a wound. You don't know how you're going to get over it, how you're going to get through. The doctor says you have a rare disease. There's no treatment or a cure for you. There's an enemy that's been bugging you, a co-worker that's been nagging you. There's a certification you've been trying to get. There's some habits you've been trying to break. We say quit. You say, I can't. It feels good. Parents, raise your children. Feel all right about them going to school and knowing that they are going to do just what they're supposed to do. No, Reverend, that's impossible. Children, go to school. Don't worry about human trafficking. Don't worry about bullies. Don't worry about cyberbullying. Ignore your peers. Don't worry, because everything is going to be all right. But our children say that's impossible. Pastor Jackson, I remember when we were growing up in school, when I was in high school, in middle school about 5 years ago. We used to have fire alarm drills. Our children now have to have active shooter drills. And the world in which they live now and the care that parents have, and they have to say, without the help of God, that's impossible. Well, my brothers and sisters, Matthew introduces us to 12 men that Jesus drafts and enlists into his army. And in one day, he turns their world upside down. Tells them, I have an assignment for you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, and raise the dead. But I hear the voice saying, wait a minute, now we ain't got no training for this. Well, we've never been to seminary. He said, yeah, but I want you to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Well, no, Peter said, no, look, see, we know who you are. You are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. We've never been to MUSC. We've never been to Morehouse School of Religion. We've never been to Morris. We've never been to Claflin. We've never been to Voorhees. We've never been to Benedict. We've never been to ITC. We've never been to Duke. We haven't been to Meharry. We haven't been. We don't have any plaques on our walls that has prepared us for this. And Jesus just, yeah, I want you to raise the dead. Cleanse the sick. Heal the lepers. My brothers and sisters, there is sickness in the land. And it's not just COVID-19. There is sickness of domestic abuse and mental illness. There's sickness of child neglect. There is sickness of abuse and human trafficking. There is a sickness. And there are some sick folk in our society and some sick folk in our church. They may come dressed up in Ann Taylor. They may come up in St. John. They might come in Ann Taylor. They might come in Gucci. They might be coming in Tom Ford, wearing Tom Ford. But it does not change whatever fashion designs that they might have. If you want to know how sick folk are, look at how sick you are. Some of us have been battered and bruised all week long. Some of us have had our face rubbed in the dirt. Some of us have been lied on, talked about, mistreated. And when we come to church on Sunday morning, we need somebody to love on us, to give us compassion, to hold us, to take us by the hand, to lift us up. You know, we got some folk we don't want in our church, cleanse the lepers. There's some folk we don't want to touch, we don't want around us. But I hear Jesus saying, cleanse the pimps, cleanse the prostitutes, cleanse the drug addicts, cleanse the homeless, cleanse the pusher, cleanse the dope addict, cleanse the dropout, embrace the homeless. And I don't care what you say. You can't heal nobody if you don't touch them. Social psychologist says just a touch will strengthen the immune system. And you know, that's one thing about Jesus. He went around touching folk. Look at the text. Look at the ministry of Jesus. Yes, there were some miracles of distance, but for the most part, he was touching. So he says, I want you to cleanse the lepers. I want you to raise the dead. So Jesus, and that's the boy, said, wait a minute, raise the dead? Oh, so you want us to stop funeral processions? You want us to go into the embalming business, Jesus? Is that what you are saying? You want us to get our funeral director's license and you want us? Jesus says, no. I don't want you to take up residence in the cemetery. But I'm talking about some dead folk in the church. They don't have, their joy is gone, their hope is gone, their smile is gone, their zeal is gone, their joy is gone. I can come and fire rain down in the church. The preacher can preach like Pentecost. The choir can sing like the angelic host, but they can't move. People are jumping and moving all around them. Fire of the Holy Spirit is moving from breath to breath and heart to heart. And they sit there with their legs folded because they're dead. And I know some say, well, Reverend, it doesn't take hold. But the Bible says that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. I may not do a two-step. I may not do a three-step. But Grandma said, but if I couldn't say a word, I'd just... Because when I think of the goodness of Jesus... All he's done for me and the thing that he's brought me through, you better stop trying to break off my praise. You can't make me doubt him because I know too much about him. So you can set on yours, but I got to thank him. Because he's been too good for me. Grandma said he brought me from a mighty, 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 mighty. You don't know where he brought me from. You won't understand my praise because you don't know what I had to go through to get here. I got to hurry on. Okay. So he says. And then he goes from bad to worse. He says, cast out the demons. Lord have mercy. And my brothers and sisters, we are living in a time where the demonic is taking over, taking foot in our land everywhere we look around. Demonic forces are attacking our families, attacking our homes and our children. And if the saints of God don't get it together and pray like we've never prayed before and come together like we never have, if we don't cast the devil out, he's going to cast us out. Now, one thing I've learned about the devil, though, he's always in something moving. We wonder, Pastor, sometimes why we have to cancel choir rehearsal. We have to shut down church meetings because somebody brought him. When the ushers can't get together, somebody brought him. When members can't come together on one accord, somebody brought him. He does not get there by himself. Somebody brings him. I think I tried to tell y'all this some time ago. You know, when you go to the airport and you go through the metal detector, if you walk through the, And I wondered, Lord have mercy, if at all these exits, if we had a demon or a devil detector, before people could come in to the sanctuary, lying spirit, whoop! Robin got whoop! Backstabbing, whoop! Unloving, whoop! Discontinued, whoop! Evil spirit, whoop! If we could just have a devil detector, we can keep the devil out of the church. I got to hurry on. I'm taking up too much time. I got to hurry on. I'm taking up too much. I didn't mean to take this long. But we just need to put it on all entrances so that the Holy Spirit can just have his way. People can catch on fire. Souls can get set. People can embrace people instead of pushing them off. If we could just keep the devil out of the church. Well, I got to run. There are three quick things. I know you thought it was a narrative sermon, but there are three quick things that I got to give you. Can I leave them? Is it all right? Is it all right if I keep on with these three? Is it okay? The first thing about dealing with your assignment or the mission that God has given you is that God's purpose is not hindered by your past. When God gets ready to use you and me, I don't care what we have done. I don't care what your rap sheet says at the courthouse. I don't care what your transcript or your resume says about you. God never calls the qualified. He qualifies who he calls. If you think so, if you think you are not worthy, all the people of the Bible that God used had something wrong with them. Can I show it to you? All right. Noah was achieved favor in the eyes of the Lord, but he had a drinking problem. Abraham was called a friend of God, but he was a pathological liar. David was a man after God's own heart, but he was a womanizer. So then, everybody in the Bible and everybody in here, we got some issues too. That's right. All of us in here, that's why you ain't got no business pointing no fingers, rolling your eyes at nobody that walk in here and walk past you. Because if we be honest about it, if it wasn't for the pandemic, you'd still be holding your spot down. And I want you to do something for me right quick. Don't you look at the person next to you. Look at me. Because don't you look at the person next to you, because they ain't always been in the church. On Sunday morning, they hadn't always been singing Jesus' joy. They hadn't always been praising the Lord. Because they all got some things wrong with them. In fact, some of us, our testimony is my grandmama prayed for me, had me on her mind. Somebody had to pray hard for us. Because we hadn't always been who we are now in the Lord. In fact, I love, that's why that song says change. Oh, change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Let's look at these boys that Jesus chose. Untruthful, unethical, illiterate, unintelligent. One was a wishy-washy doubter. One was a sticky finger extortionist. One was a backstabbing traitor. One was a slick denier. Two of them had switchblades in their pockets. The men that he started the church with had something wrong with them. But guess what? God has a knack of taking the ordinary and doing something extraordinary. So it doesn't matter what you've been. God is concerned about what he's getting ready to do with you right now. How he's getting ready to use you. Use you to transform the world. Use you to change somebody's life. Use you to lift somebody's burden. So who you were and what you used to do doesn't matter. Tell your neighbor what I used to do doesn't count. Tell those I remember when folk that all of us got to win. But thank God for my now. Where I am now is what I praise God. Well, then the second thing is that the task or assignment before you is not greater than the power that's behind you. Well, Reverend, where did you get this? Well, you got to go back to verse 1 where it says he gave them power. Now, my brothers and sisters, you need to know this, that God is not going to send you and not equip you. That's not how God works. That's why we say we are trusting in the providence of God. From the word providio, which means he saw to it and made provisions before he ever assigned you. and already gave the equipment and put people and things in place that was unfolding before he sent you. He had already provided the means before you got started. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Don't let that word power fool you. It comes from a Greek word, exousia. And it means authority, dominion over a realm or ability. But it's more than that. It also means proxy. Now, proxy is when somebody sends you in their place and empowers you, and the power that you have that's been proxied to you as if they're there themselves. And that's what I want to let y'all know this morning. Don't let the naysayers get in your ear and your head, tell you what you can't do, tell you what you can't be. Quit complaining and whining about how high the road is. The Lord told me to tell you, you got power. Power to handle the devil. Power to handle your naysayer. Power to handle your misery. Power to handle your depression. Power. God has given us power. And I know you might say, yes, well, Dominion Energy has power. Yes, that's true. Duke has power, of course. Mid-Carolina has power. But see, the difference is it's not transforming power. It's not healing power. It's not conforming and comforting power. It's not loving power. It's not hope-giving power. It's not dead-raising power. It's not lepers-cleansing power. Not a storm-moving power. In fact, the problem with the power that they have, a good cyber attack. And there you are. The lights go out. And the power goes out. And there you are, stuck. Miserable. But the power that I'm talking about this morning will never fail. Doesn't have to have. It's unhackable. It's inexhaustible. It will never run out. You can never overuse it. It's always available. When you call on him, it's available. When you need it, it's available. When you can't go on, it's available. When you can't stand no more, it's available. God told me to tell you, you got power. Well, Reverend, how do I know I got it? Well, remember when the doctor told you that you won't get well, but you're skipping around here now. When they told you you'd never be anything, but look at where you are. When they told you you wouldn't do this and you couldn't do that, but look at where you are now. They tried to block your way, but look at where you are. They tried to hold you down, but you kept on rising. Because you've got the power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God worked it out. That's the power that you have to be an overcomer, to be a victor and not a victim. But then third and finally, because I got to hurry on, I've helped y'all too long. The third and finally, I want to let you know that when he sends you, you won't go alone. Matthew 28 and 20 says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of age. And I tell y'all today, I don't know what it is, what the assignment is, but I just want to drop something else on you. before I leave. He says, lo, I am with you. See, don't take that lightly, because that I am goes back to Genesis, to the Ishea, Ishea, Iyer. I am that I am. And I cause what I cause to happen. And that I am hooks up with the Greek in the New Testament. Ego, a me. Which means I myself am with you. It's not like the word Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there. That's the one David says, where shall I flee from the presence of God? If I go out into the reaches of space, he's always already there. But that's not the one that I'm talking about. The ego in me is the one who's with you right now. Yeah, when your bills got paid. Ego, a me. When you got healing and the doctor said it was a miracle. Ego, a me. When you didn't know how you were gonna put those kids through school, but you did. Ego, a me. Well, I got to leave y'all now. But if you don't mind, give me a few seconds. I want to turn this lectern into a confession booth. I remember in 1987 at ITC in Atlanta, I had been in the hospital for 65 straight days on the verge of flunking out. I went to the dean and he said, Jameson, he held his head down and said, son, it don't look good, but you can go to your professors and talk to them. But let me caution you, they still may not do anything. Well, I went back to my room. I got on my knees and said, Lord, I don't have no money. I can't stay another semester. Well, that Wednesday morning, I went to the chapel. I sat down in the back, and the dean put his hands on my shoulder and said, Jameson, I think we got a solution. If you can pass your exams, we think it'll be all right. Well, let me tell you, I didn't just pass my exams. I was on the dean's list, on the honor roll. I want to tell somebody, if you got rivers that you cannot cross, if you got mountains that you can't tunnel through, God specializes in things impossible.